Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. We're doing a shorter version today, like no more than 30 minutes. Today's podcast is titled Zero Waste Living. Zero Waste Living, 619-768-2945 is the number. Now, this is going to be based on lifestyles. And I got like two or three more calculations to do. Oh man, my library is short today. You know what, man, let me do it this way. I can calculate it while you guys are listening. What we're doing is this morning I took a little survey of some people I know, but they don't live here in the United States. And let me get these figures here, because I have to convert them. Let's see. And what I'm doing is, we marvel at sometimes these people that come to the United States from foreign lands, and then a few years later, they become wealthy. They have obtained the so-called American dream. Well, you can define the American dream certain ways. For some people, the American dream is a single house, maybe some transportation, and a chicken in the pot. For some, that's the American dream. For others, that changes. I got one more calculation to do here. So we're going to take a look at that on how that can happen. And this was this mode of thinking was, this topic came up, a little trending topic from yesterday, and I guess it's still in the news today. Jay-Z, according to Forbes magazine, is the first hip-hop billionaire. Okay, I got my last calculation here. I got to plug it in here. Jay-Z is the, according to Forbes magazine, the first hip-hop magazine. Of course, billionaire. Of course, if you talk to some people, they might say Dr. Dre. Wait a minute. I'm trying to do a couple of things here. Oh, okay. I found it. So let's start off with that before I go into zero waste living, because Forbes has their definition of wealth, and you might have your definition of wealth. Okay, one. All right, one. Hold on, I'm missing a digit here. Okay, there, I got it. All right. So let's where's that article at on Jay-Z? And I've got some observations about billionaires, how people can become billionaires if that's what you want to become. I don't need to hear the audio on this. Let's see if I can get another way. Jay-Z. All right. Here are my observations on becoming a billionaire. And if you got any observations, please feel free to call in 619-768-2945. I'm trying to get something on my laptop where they don't have audio over this, where I can just read it to you. But Jay-Z, and I'm going to throw Dr. Dre in there too, because when he did that deal with Beats headphones, I think that was worth a billion. All right. Okay. The common denominator that I see with people who have become billionaires, and I'm going to put out there, you got Jay-Z, who Forbes says he's on this list. I'm going to throw in Oprah. Mark Zuckerberg, the cats that own Airbnb, and Bill Gates. All right, those five. The first common denominator is this. These people have become billionaires in essentially, this is in no particular order. The first one, they're in industries, they started a business or in an industry that has very little or zero government regulation. You don't need a business license to become a talk show host like Oprah. You don't need a business license to start a website like Facebook, because that's what Facebook is. It's a website. We supply the content. Zuckerberg doesn't even supply content. He might do a little bit, you know, with live streams every now and then. But overall, we supply the content. So you don't need a business license. Nobody's getting arrested for starting a website. There's no enforcement mechanism on a website or a talk show host. Hip-hop. Ain't nobody going to jail on recording a hip-hop tune or starting a hip-hop label or publishing hip-hop songs, which are intellectual property. All right. Bill Gates, nobody's getting locked up over software on operating systems. Nobody's going to knock on your door and say, you know, you violated some ordinance or law or whatever on operating systems for computers. It's not happening. It might happen in the future, but it's not happening right now. And who was the other one? See, Zuckerberg, Gates. All right, we got them all. Okay. So that's the first observation that I have about the people joining the Billionaires Club. They're in something that has very little or complete zero regulation. Now, some of you, oh, yeah, I forgot the other guys, Airbnb. Airbnb is an app. You don't need a business license to develop an app. Now, Microsoft is a publicly traded company now, and that's government regulation. But Bill Gates was already a billionaire before he went public. Mark Zuckerberg was already a billionaire in his mid-20s before Facebook went public. So once again, the overall common enough. There might be some exceptions, but I haven't run across any yet. All right. Now somebody like Trump, he became billionaire by building hotels, high end hotels in places like New York City or expensive places like that. And yes, you are regulated with code enforcement and all that. But most billionaires are not regulated. They're in industries that are basically have zero regulation for the most part. All right. All the five people I named, or examples I named, zero regulation to become a billionaire. Now, like I say, Zuckerberg through Facebook, when they went public, you're regulated. Same with Gates, but they were billionaires before that. All right. Second observation on joining the Billionaires Club. You're either in or you either are in an emerging industry. You start a business that's in an emerging industry, but that's essentially it. You're in an industry. Oh, excuse me. You're either in a business that's in an emerging industry, or you create an industry from scratch. That's the second observation. Hip-hop is essentially still an emerging industry. You got, at best, maybe two billionaires, Jay-Z and Dr. Dre. At best, two. Maybe a distant third with Master P. emerging industry. So it's still, I mean, because so many of them, they got mumble rap, gangster rap, because with music, there's new types of things that pop up. And within those new niches that pop up, you got people that become millionaires out of those, and a few of those will rise to become billionaires. So it's still an emerging, hip hop is still an emerging industry. You know, with clothes, concerts, downloads. And one of the reasons why government can't keep up with it, why it's not regulated, is because government can't move quick enough to regulate something like that. So websites still emerging. Due to Facebook put a ban on Louis Farrakhan and some other people, Alex Jones, some other people. There's something else now, I think, private domains or whatever, where you can say anything you want to say, do anything you want to say online, but it's private. Facebook is a public thing. So there'll be more people that'll get into this private domain stuff, and there'll be millionaires and billionaires out of that. The online genre is better than the Wild Wild West right now in 2019. It's just totally wide open. Okay. Virtually, there's self-regulation, but there's very little, and in most cases, zero government regulation. All right. And it's emerging. You take, even on a political scene, President Barack Obama outdid the old boys club, because the old boys club is basically people that are regulated. They got unregulated. They're regulated politicians. They raise money the old regulated ways. But Barack Obama, with social media, went, particularly when he did it, was completely wide open. He raised more money than anybody else and broke records and set records. And the old boy network didn't know how to jumble it. And then Donald Trump did the same thing. Now, Obama did 8 years. Government regulation didn't catch up with social media. Obama, 8. You got Trump in there, so in 12 years. Regulators, bureaucrats have not figured out how to put the reins on social media and anything connected to social media. That's my theory on how Trump got into office. Because media-wise, and people talk about him tweeting, hey, but that's where it's at, man. Social media. That's where it's at. That's where the ball is, and that's where the ball is going to continue to go. Very little or zero regulation. And still emerging. Still emerging. The third common denominator of joining the Billionaires Club, whatever widget, and widget represents a business, whatever widget that you come up with in your emerging business or emerging industry, you got to give it away. Oh, excuse me, you got to sell it by the thousands or give it away for free by the thousands. Let's go to the obvious suspect on this one. You look at the guys who started Yahoo, the guys who started Google, a lot of your dot-com millionaires, billionaires, they gave away tens of thousands, if not millions, of email addresses away for free. They still do. Doesn't cost anything to join up on Facebook. There's only 7 billion people on the planet. 1 billion of us are on Facebook. Did we have to pay to get on Facebook? No. Free account. Google got a Gmail account? Free. Want a Google telephone number? Free. Yahoo email address? Free. You can make phone calls now on Facebook. Anywhere around the world. Free. Give it away, like I say, thousands of times. Now, even if they have to pay for it, you know, like Microsoft, okay, it's an affordable price. He sold, God, I don't even want to speculate how many times Microsoft is sold on somebody's computer on a daily basis. Those are the three observations I've noticed about joining the Billionaires Club. And the hardest part out of all three of those, I would say, would be coming up with a widget that either you can give away thousands of times or price it where it's affordable, where tens of thousands of people can afford it. And then you're going to have to, this isn't a lone wolf type of situation. Here's the fourth common denominator observation I've had with billionaires. They got a bunch of partners. Nobody's a lone wolf. Nobody's a lone wolf in the Billionaires Club. They have hundreds, if not thousands, of partners, depending on the business. Those are the four common denominators that I've observed in becoming a billionaire. And it's what I think out of 7 billion people, less than, I think it's less than 3,000 billionaires on the planet. But it's nothing complicated. You know, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's nothing complicated. Find an emerging industry or create one from scratch. You know, because Jay-Z didn't create hip-hop. It was out there, and he, like I said, it's still emerging. You know, how presidents or how politicians are elected via social media, that market, that niche alone, still emerging. Oh, now let me go to, because we got about 6 minutes left on this podcast. The today's podcast is titled Zero Waste Living. You know what? Let me add a fifth thing in there. Because it looks like the newer billionaires, the app billionaires, are acquiring wealth with very little overhead. Let me give you two examples. The Marriott Corporation, or any hotel chain, the larger ones, Hyatt, Hilton. You know, some of, you know, I think Marriott might be public. So some of them have a lot of debt partners or equity partners, and then some of them are public. They have public funding for the stock exchange. And they got property taxes to pay, this, that, or the other. Whereas the app billionaire, at least the big one on the block these days, Airbnb, I mean, they recently, I think, acquired a resort, but they became billionaires via an app. Airbnb started out as a website, and that's what that was the domain name, airbedandbreakfast.com. I think that's the original domain name. You plug that into your search engine, and it'll go. It'll point to Airbnb.com. Guys behind on their rent. Now they've got over 100 booking. Over 1 million places to stay on a daily basis. No debt. Now, if they go public, and if I were them, hell, why go public? But that's crazy, LA. It's only 24 hours in a day. You're a private company, and you're already billionaires. All the three founders of Airbnb are all billionaires in their mid-30s. Maybe they're trying to go for trillionaires. I don't know. But, Jeff Bezos. I don't know if Amazon's public. But before, if he is public, basically Amazon's a website. Zappos, selling shoes. That guy's knocking at the door of becoming a billionaire. Doesn't make any shoes. Doesn't manufacture any shoes. He takes your order and then goes, gets the shoes, and then mails them to you. So that's what I'm saying. This whole thing with the internet is still emerging. And you'll have more people that'll pop up as billionaires along the way. Now, let's go to zero waste living. Oh man, we got 2 minutes left. Okay. I was talking to some friends this morning, and I was asking them, how much do they live on? You know, rent, groceries, utilities, all that. And here are the numbers I got. One friend of mine, she lives on $58 a month. Another friend, she lives on $96 a month. Another one lives on $135 a month. One lives on $231 a month. And the last one lives on $289 per month. All these people live in emerging economies. They all have phones, smartphones in most cases. Internet connections, but they live different lifestyles. None of them live in the United States, but if they move to the United States and continue the same type of lifestyle they have right now, I can see how they become millionaires. We've got a guest tomorrow she's going to lay out the pyramid of success. But so tomorrow we're going to pick back up on this zero waste living. How can a person live off of 130? You know what? I'm going to even go down. Like I said, I got one person I talked to this morning lives off $58 a month. They have a smartphone and they have internet connection. What are they doing or not doing that the person that is struggling doing in the Western world? Like I said, I couldn't. The highest amount was $289, and they live in an urban area. And they're not getting, none of these people are getting any money from the government. Zero. It comes down to lifestyle. So we'll be back tomorrow, and then like, so we're going to go into, and I'm going to give you some clues, some common denominators with them. So maybe you can take some things from them and include it in your Western lifestyle where you can get your expenses down lower and your lifestyle up higher. On that note, that's it for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Crush your morning goals with a steak, egg, and cheese bagel or any breakfast sandwich and snag another one for just a buck with the buy one, get one deal. Only in the McDonald's app. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid once per day. Must opt into rewards.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kinda obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts will check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.